morning. Wow. It's so good to be home. I walked in this morning and the smell brought back so many memories. I felt like I was coming in to a children's musical rehearsal. That's what triggered it. It was kind of crazy, but it's so good to be back, and everything seems smaller now. Last time I was here, I was 13, so that's kind of weird. But many of you who are graduating, like, I remember when you were born, and then some of you probably remember when I was in my mom's belly, so it's kind of crazy and weird how time just flies. Like, Hannah, wow, you grew up. Like, and all you Weech kids, everybody is so big. It's so weird. But I once had a graduation here, my sixth grade caravan graduation. Do you guys still do caravan? Last week you had it. I have my Phineas F. Brzee Award, and I was this close to wearing all my sashes today, but no, they're deep down in my mom's chest of something somewhere. But yes, so I graduated from Eastern Nazarene College, and this morning I'm just going to share from my heart of things that I've learned as a graduate, now in my 20s, and after graduating college, and things that I've learned in college, and what ENC has provided for me, and just a little bit of my story. And graduation is a big deal. So for you who have graduated college or high school, you're about to enter into this crazy adventure. And I'm sure many of you have ridiculous questions and confusion, and you're scared, and it's this big giant wall in front of you that you're just facing. But a lot of what I've learned can apply to all of you. So this isn't just a charge to my graduates this morning. This is for all of you. And if you're a note taker, you can take notes, do whatever you feel is necessary and how you can connect. But many of us, you know, whatever it is, and entering a new school, a new job, a new adventure is before us all the time. Seasons are always changing. And many of us have different paths that look different. But we all have access to the same compass to get us there. You know where I'm going with this? God. God is our compass. And we all have that. No matter where we are in our life, we all have access to God leading us. And I've learned through my journey these past 5 years that these four tools that I want to share with you are a really great foundation to help you through this great adventure of following Jesus and what's next in your life. So wherever you are, you new graduates, may these be great reminders to all of us. If you're a graduate in the workforce for 5 years, for 10 years, for 50 years, would you engage with me in this journey today? So the first thing that I learned, so I graduated from Eastern Nazarene College in 2015. I came from central Pennsylvania, and I went to the big city in Boston. And totally different than central PA, and I kind of just got stuck there. I love Boston. It's awesome. But it taught me so much about my faith. ENC is just, oh my word, if you want to find a place that's going to guide you in your career, in your faith, and all that you do, ENC, all of our Christian schools, all of our Nazarene schools do this. But ENC formed me to the woman that I am today, opened up so many doors to opportunities, opened up the doors to my purpose, and God smacked me over the head, you know, when I thought I wanted to do one thing. You know, I was surrounded by this community that opened the doors and encouraged me to get to really where I was supposed to be. So the first thing that I learned and that I want you to think of is your purpose. So the first P is purpose. They're all P's. I did not try that on purpose. Ha, purpose. I didn't. I wrote it and I was like, they're all P's. This is kind of cool. So purpose. So Matthew 5:15 tells us that, says to us, let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good deeds and praise the Father in heaven. So God gives us literally the greatest command and the greatest adventure on this earth. And if he invites us into this place where we just get to go spread his love. And as simple as that, and be a light to this world. No matter what our objective is, to simply love the people, no matter what they look like, no matter where they come from, no matter what they believe, what they've done. But he tells us just to be a light into this world and to love them just like he did. But many of us can get stuck. A lot of us carry different burdens, different loads weigh us down, reputations or stereotypes label us, and we start listening to those. And sometimes we start agreeing with what people label us as. And it starts to dictate who we are and what we do. And then we forget who we are in Christ. And then we forget our purpose. And then it's this whole spiral effect. But did you know that God is for you? He's for you. There are so many times in the Bible where God says, I am with you. And it is probably the most comforting thing that I would run back to. And he says, I'm with you. And 2 Corinthians says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. So you get to start brand new when you say yes to Jesus. And you take on this purpose and you recognize your purpose. And because of that, because you're a new creation, you are not defined by what you do, but you're defined by who Jesus is to you. How many of you remember the story of Zacchaeus? Yes? They're all sitting here. Yes, some of you remember. Who was he? What was Zacchaeus? What was his job? Yell it out. He was a tax collector. And when, for you who are in high school or in college, someday you'll know taxes are not the best, your favorite thing, and they're not great. You're not going to like taxes. And this guy, Zacchaeus, wasn't really the favorite person in town, right? Tax collectors weren't the greatest people. He was kind of a cheater and a thief. And most people didn't like him. But one encounter with Jesus changed Zacchaeus' purpose. Just one encounter. He fought through crowds just to get a glimpse and just to encounter one glimpse of this Messiah. He was so eager. And then Jesus came into this man, like the thief of the town, like no, it was like, whoa, you know, like he went to this man's home and had dinner with him. So think of like, you know, somebody in your school or in your town that like, you know, everybody doesn't like. And can you just imagine if Jesus was walking this earth this day and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go eat food with them. Go into their home, engage in conversation. What would we think? And Jesus sits with this man. And he has a meal with him. And at the end, he forgives Zacchaeus and redefines who he is and what his purpose is. And God does the same for us. He defines you and says that you are forgiven, that you have new life, and you have a new name and a new purpose in this world. You're not just somebody from a broken home. You're someone who has been through a situation and encountered God. So that you can go into someone else's situation that was just like yours and show them the same encounter of Jesus. It's kind of awesome. Because if you let Jesus, he turns your pain into purpose. And it's amazing. And I'm telling you from experience, the life after that, it's just really cool. How God uses you, it just doors fly open and God does some cool things. So be reminded that this morning, that you are not a failure. You are not unworthy. You're not useless. You're not boring. You're not a terrible person, but you are forgiven. And God is going to turn your pain into purpose. So may you lean into that purpose. And may you see what, and get others to see who Jesus really is. May we be so desperate in this next chapter that you go into your life. May you be so desperate to clear the crowds just so others can get a glimpse of Jesus and see where God takes you in your purpose. The second thing that has helped me and is a foundation on this crazy adventure of faith is having people. Hebrews 10 says, let us spur, 10:24-25, says, let us spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. One of the most super important things that you need in your life, if you're going to college, if you just got out of college, wherever you are, you need a good crew around you. You need good, positive people behind you. You need a foundation who's going to encourage you and not tear you down, but lift you up. And not tell you that you kind of stink, but lift you up and get you to your purpose. How many of you, your mom said, be careful who your friends are, or your youth pastor or someone in your life. Be careful who your friends are and who you surround yourself with. Moms are right. They're so right. I know you don't think so now. I didn't either. She's sitting back there. She can probably tell you. I didn't always think she was right, but she's right. Don't get around the wrong influence. the people who steal your joy right out from under you or make you something that you're not. The type that, you know, stress you out with all their problems and like, you know, like, oh my goodness, it's just such a burden and so tiring to be around these people. College students, surround yourself with good friends. Professors, find a faith community that's going to get all the greatness out of you that God has implanted in you. I had the best 4 years at ENC. I loved it. It was the worst of times, it was the best of times. It was the most transformative 4 years of my life. I was surrounded and plugged into this community that opened up my eyes to what this world really looked like and how diverse it was and what my purpose was to go and love all those people and make a difference in Jesus' name. And I had professors who looked at me and said, you're a leader, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. I was student body president at ENC, and I led, I was a worship leader on the summer ministry teams for 4 years. Nothing that I ever thought I would ever do. And I literally looked at my professors and looked at these people who saw greatness in me, and I was like, I think you're wrong. They're like, no, you can do this. And I did, and they pulled that out of me. I have some of the best friends. Rebecca actually was 2 years older than me in college, and we actually live together now. She's one of my roommates, and just the lifelong friends. And Shauna went to ENC, if you didn't know, now you know. And I'm sure she can tell you that the friends that you make in your college years and the connections that you have and the people that you allow to influence you will change the rest of your life. These are the friends who wrote me encouraging notes. And I had friends in college who wrote me verses and encouraging letters and stuck them on my door and who took care of me when I was at the lowest point of my life. And when you have a good foundation of people who do that, they'll remind you of your purpose when you can't remember it. And they will bring encouragement and joy to you. They're your cheerleaders. So when you feel defeated, when you're in college, when you're in high school, when you're out and you can't find a job after you graduated and you're so defeated, call up those people, let them encourage you and remind them and remind you what your purpose is. I have those people. They're really great. They make you feel really awesome after you have a conversation with them. Find the people that'll drop anything to make sure that you succeed. This church is a foundation for a lot of you. This church was a foundation for me. Guys are awesome. And I look out here and where I am today is because of this church, the people who surrounded my family and prayed for us, provided us with a home. Karen Underkoffler, who helped me move into college with my mom. That's family. That's the body of Christ. Find those people who are going to love you. I'm telling you, it's awesome. They still come around, all these people. Oh, this is my family. Just welcoming huge hugs when I walked through the door. It's a pretty good feeling. Find those people who drop everything for you to make sure that you succeed in your life and find your purpose. So get good people to travel along this adventure with you. The third one is perseverance, the third P. So we got purpose, we got people, and we got perseverance. So I'm going to bring it back to caravan times, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you know it, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust God in all that you do. How many of you in this room have ever felt stuck? Not like stuck in a door, but like stuck in life, in some, whether that's knowing where I'm supposed to go to school, whether that's what job am I supposed to take, or whether that's frustration of like, I want to be here, but I'm not here, and I don't understand why I'm not here. How many of you have ever felt stuck? It's okay, you can raise your hands. Yeah. You have this dream, you have this goal, but you're just not there. And I'm finding that it's a really big theme for people in their 20s. I'm 25, and I'm just like, my goodness, when's it going to happen? When's it going to start? And there's so many times of frustration. And there's this guy in the Bible. His name is David. And he was waiting on God for a long time in this season of waiting. you should read his book. It's the Psalms. You might know it. It's really good, especially when you're in college and in your 20s. Talk about a roller coaster of emotions. That's what your 20s feel like sometimes. Read that book. It kind of helps. But how many of us have been in this season of waiting? Waiting on a promotion, waiting for the right timing, waiting for God's answers. And it's agonizing at times because we know our purpose and the people around us know our purpose. And the people are telling us this, but we're not there. I have worked at ENC since I graduated. When I was in my senior year, I thought I was going to go and teach. My degree is in special education. And I thought I was going to go teach. And then my senior year, April of my senior year of college, I'm done. I go to this conference, and it's like the guy was talking right to me. And he was, the title of it was No Excuses. And he was talking about Moses and Moses' call into ministry. And he was talking about those who are ignoring the call into ministry. And it's like the guy was staring right at me, and I could not get away from it. And there it was. And I was like, okay, I get it. This is what I'm supposed to do. And then from the time I graduated, I'm working at ENC, which has been an awesome experience. I loved it. But I know where God is calling me, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be in ministry, and it's not happening. And I was so frustrated and not understanding why the doors weren't opening. So I got on my knees, and I started praying. I mean, I prayed hard. Like, I was angry. I was like, why am I still here? Why are you not opening the doors for opportunities? I don't understand. And I cried out, how long, O Lord? But he tells us to trust in him, right? In those verses, don't lean on your own understanding, Crystal, and trying to figure out why I haven't promoted you or taken you to the next level or where you're supposed to be. Seek me and trust in me. So that's what I did. And what I learned is to, through those months of waiting and through that time, to bloom where I was planted. It's another one of those phrases, you know. But sometimes you feel potted and not able to bloom as much as you can. And it's kind of hard, and it kind of steals your joy, and it kind of steals your thunder. But I felt like God was telling me, Crystal, you need to steward where I have you now. Because the only way that I can entrust you with my people and my ministry and your ministry is by stewarding where I have you now. So there's going to be times in your life where you're so frustrated and you are not where you want to be, and God has you in a different place. And I learned, and so clear, God was saying, persevere through this. Wait on me, but you have to steward where you are now and find joy where you are now and when you are ready. And when God knows the timing, there you go. He opened up the doors, and that's exactly what I did. Hard work, perseverance. And now I launched the youth group at my church. I'm the youth leader there. And it's been awesome and crazy and really hard work. But the season of waiting and praying, and I'm still in that season and trusting that God will take me when I am ready. And I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I've totally surrendered to his timing. So the best way to trust is to persevere and seek through prayer. That's a bonus, another P, prayer, because it kind of goes with everything. So you get another P. So when you're frustrated, remember to trust him in this season and to seek his will and persevere through, and he will get you there in his timing. The fourth one is passion. Do you ever get passionate about something and then the next day you totally forget about it? Anyone? I know you do. I did. I wanted to be a Broadway star one time. And then when I was young, I wanted to be a ventriloquist. And I even went to the library to get a book on, like, to teach you and to start. And then by the time that library book needed to get returned, my passion for that was kind of up. So, you know, that disappeared. So we can get the same way about our faith. When we feel so frustrated and defeated and we can't persevere and we're not able to, we lose our passion. That passion that we had when we first met Jesus, you know, or where you go to camp or you go to retreats and you have these awesome Jesus experiences. And then a couple weeks later, they're just gone. And we lose that fire and we lose that passion. And we go back to our passions of Netflix binging or, I don't know, whatever your thing is. But Netflix, how many, you guys Netflix, right? Yeah, okay. But we have these mountaintop experiences. And then we get back down to the regular patterns of our life. So think about a God moment in your life, everyone in this room. Think about an awesome Holy Spirit, Jesus encounter where, oh my word, if you talk about it, it would just bring you to tears. When you were so passionate to maybe share your story or to invite your friends to church, to show others Jesus by your everyday life, do you still hold that same burning passion? Or are you so caught up in the routine that your flame is barely flickering? And we can slip into this place where we hardly care anymore because routine is so normal to us and we're in our comfort zone, and why go out and maybe, you know, say, hey, I'm a Christian, and have everybody in school or everybody at my job or my work kind of judge me for that. And we get so scared to even mention that we believe in Jesus, almost ashamed. But then we show up to church and it's awesome, and we sing these songs and we pray and we get to check it off our list because it's just so normal. Or maybe some of us feel unworthy because we carry around this moral failure, like, oh man, I really messed up and I can never be back on track with Jesus again, so I really don't have that passion anymore. But I want to encourage you, don't give up just because you gave in. Don't lose heart because you lost your way. We're not perfect. We're human. But we have this God-given purpose. And he forgave you. And in that forgiveness, again, he gave you that purpose to be a light to this world. And he wants you to use that. When we give up on our passion, our faith starts to fade. We lose passion, and then confusion starts to creep in. And then his friends' doubt and frustration kind of knock down the door, and they join the party. But let me tell you what passion does for you in this great adventure. And this is what I've learned and from the tools and the experiences that I have. When I have passion, I'm super passionate, I'm on fire, and Jesus is at the center of my life, it enables me to overcome any problem in any situation that I'm experiencing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm like, nope, I got the Lord Jesus on my side and nothing can stop me. Passion finds a way when we don't have the people around us to encourage us. And passion finds a way when maybe we don't have perseverance at the moment to get through a really confusing time. Passion for our faith pushes us past all our troubles and begins to find a way to get us through. And it leads us to hope, and our hope in Jesus Christ. Passion will reignite or ignite our righteous anger and get us to do something about the injustice in this world. When our passion fades, what do you do when your passion fades? When you're just maybe in this rut, or you feel like you're in this deep pit and you're like, I really don't know how to get out of it. I've been there. And my mom taught me some really great things, like go into the Bible and read some of the promises and just post them everywhere in your room and read them every day and read the promises of God, because this is just a time and this is just a season. And in Psalm 51, David writes, restore to me the joy of my salvation and make me a willing spirit again. So David is basically saying in this, he's like, make me care again. Like I was, you know, David in the Bible, like he was a real passionate stand-up dude, like the king, you know, he had it going on. And then he kind of messed up. But he wanted to be restored to that time where he had so much passion that it didn't matter what happened, that his life would be a witness wherever he went, to be a light wherever he went. This generation is so passionate. They are a passionate generation about the injustices in this world. Some of you are in the school systems or you work with them, and you can just tell, like, they are so passionate. And teenagers, you live in an age where there's so much happening in this dark world. And I believe that your generation is the one that's going to stand up and persevere through your frustration when you look at the world and you just want to shake people. Persevere and seek God through that and ask him. I dare you to pray and ask him to open up a purpose for you in all of it. God, I'm frustrated about this. Why is our world like this? God, what can I do to change it and be a light? Adults, encourage this generation. We need it. We need wisdom and guidance from your generation and the generations before you and all that come before us to be prayer warriors for this world and for these students who are going to go out and change it. We hear a lot of negative voices in this world, right? We hear a lot of negativity, like, that's impossible, you're never going to be able to do that. Man, these students and this generation has fire. They don't care. They're like, uh-uh, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to prove you wrong. So I encourage you and I challenge you as a congregation, as a church, for your students here in this church or wherever you're at, would you be a prayer for them, for their passions, that they would fulfill their purpose? And would you be the people around them? So I dare you to pray. Everyone in this room, begin to pray for a burning passion to get souls saved, because it's not about us anymore. You know, when we say yes to Jesus and we're like, I'm on your team, let's go. He's like, great. Now you have a new job. Go out and get other people to the ends of this earth, wherever they are, whoever they look, whatever they look like, whatever they believe, I want you to be a light to them. To be a light in this horribly dark world, for a new passion to fulfill your purpose. Begin to pray these things and begin to pray, God, would my desires fade? And God, would your desires invade? So remember your purpose. If you're sitting here today and you just kind of feel like you're in this bogged down, weird, hazy spot, remember your purpose and what God said to you as a new creation. And take that with you, whatever adventure you're about to go on. Surround yourself with good people. Find a mentor. Find someone in this church who's going to pray for you, who will keep you accountable, who you can call anytime and be like, yo, I'm really struggling. Can you pray for me? You need those people. You need them. Persevere through your waiting seasons by prayer. Get on your hands and knees and seek Jesus. So you can't anymore. And ignite that passion to go out and be a light to this world. I am so grateful for my education and my time at ENC that taught me to just go and serve. Like, don't overcomplicate it. Don't try and find all the answers. Just go love Jesus and love his people. That's what ENC taught me. That's how ENC shaped me, to just go be a light in this world. Find a community that will do that to you, whether that's ENC or Mount Vernon or Pittsburgh or wherever that is. Find a faith community that will spur you on and get you to go be a light in this world and not to be a Jesus freak. So I ask you all this morning, whether you're 50 years in the workforce, whether you're about to go into the workforce and you're scared because you have no job direction, or whether you just graduated college or graduated high school and going to college, do you have these tools? Have you put these into practice? Do you know your purpose? Do you have the people? Can you persevere through the really hard times? And do you have that burning passion to go out and do? So I challenge you to self-reflect that. I challenge you to figure out, what tools do you need on this great adventure? Which ones do you need to be filled with? Maybe you need a mentor. Find one. Find one in this church. Find one at your school. Find one. You have a really great youth pastor and wife, and they love you a lot, and they want to journey with whatever adventure you're on with you. So are you living in this great adventure where you're not in the driver's seat, Or are you still in the driver's seat with just a little bit of limits to give access to God leading you? Are you allowing God to be your compass? And are you still trying to navigate it yourself? Are you allowing God to invade your plan for what you think you're supposed to do? Or are you praying, God, I want your desires to just fill me and lead me? Are you in constant communication with him? And are you seeking his desires and his plan over your own? Wherever you are, find your communication rhythm. Every day, wake up. God, today, have your will, have your way, wherever you are. Are you a light? Is it really hard for you to be a light in your workplace? I dare you to do something crazy this year, this summer, this next year. Do something crazy. Get super passionate. Persevere through the weird, awkward times. Invite some people to church. Tell them about your story. Tell them about an encounter that you had with Jesus that changed your life. Because we shouldn't hide that. Because God wants everyone to have access to that. So I challenge you to self-reflect this morning on your purpose, on the people around you, on your perseverance. Are you being patient? Are you okay with where God has you because he's teaching you something for what is next and preparing you? I know some of you probably really hate school. I don't want to go. But he is preparing you and disciplining you for what is to come in your life. Steward it. Live it well. So I challenge you this morning, wherever you are in your journey, in this great adventure, that something would ignite, that you would allow God to transform and be your compass this morning. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be home. God, I thank you that you ordain everything, all of our steps, and how everything just comes in full circle. God, you know what you're doing, and God, we trust you. And God, as this is graduation Sunday, that marks some really awesome accomplishments. God, it starts some really scary times for some of us, and a lot of confusion and doubt and frustration. And God, I pray that you would just flood our spirits and flood this room, flood the youth room, God, with your presence, that these students would hear your voice so clear. God, that these adults in this room and this church would hear you so clear to be a light in this world. God, would you help us to remember our purpose when we can't persevere through the waiting? God, would you reignite our passion to go share our story so that others can encounter you? And God, I pray for those that are going to college and those who just graduated college especially, God. God, would you lead their way, lead their steps? Would they find and be intentional about finding a faith community that they were able to stay connected with you? And God, today, we just surrender. I pray that whoever in this room needs to surrender their life and their will and wants and ways, God, that they would hand that over to you this morning. And God, would you do what you designed us to do? God, would you transform and break down and build up? We thank you so much for these moments. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to transition now. We're going to do an offering. And I just want to let you guys know, I love you. Rebecca and I are both here. We love ENC. We love what it's done in our lives, how it's prepared us, what it offers. We have some gifts for the students. Your youth pastors have them. But we want to talk to you about it. We want to talk to you about ENC, if you have questions, if you want to know, whatever. And I actually brought a video, so once the offering plays or goes, we're going to play a video just for you guys to know what's going on at your school and at your campus. I love you all. Thank you for letting me be with you today and sharing my heart and sharing some of my story.